Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word. I'll read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. And so if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. Let's pray. Lord of life and love, we pray that you would be working in us as we hear your word to honour you with our lives. We know that your word won't return to you void, but will achieve the purpose you set for it. And so please, work in us. Change us. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart willing to follow after you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's read Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And now it's over to the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I'm here with three of my kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys!
Hi!
Now, in the first part of Romans that we looked at the very beginning of this year, we learnt a lot about a big Christian word, which is actually a very short word, starting with S. We talk about it a lot at church.
Sin.
Sin.
Sin. That's right. Sin. Now, I wonder if you can see my lovely, warm, soft blanket here.
Yes.
What have I done to it?
Pinned some pieces of paper on it.
I have pinned some paper on there. Kai, I wonder if you can read out what some of those bits of paper say.
Slander. Stealing, fighting, boasting, pride, disobeying parents, bullying, teasing.
That's right. There's a whole lot of words stuck all over this blanket, isn't it? That are all various types of sin. Now, what do you think I'm going to do with my blanket? I want you guys to all squish up nice and close to each other. Nice and close. Here we go. I'm going to put the blanket over the top of you. Over you go. Completely covered. Wow. What's it like under your blanket of sin, guys?
Cozy.
Dark.
Cozy? Dark. I bet it's very dark. It's probably a bit hot today as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. All right. It's dark under there, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, the first part of Romans tells us that once upon a time, all of us were covered in sin, just like you guys are now. Covered in sin, and there's no way out. You're in the darkness. But thanks to Jesus, who died on the cross to save you, you can now cast off your sin. Cast off the blanket, guys. Cast off the sin. How does it feel to be out in the light again?
Great. Happy.
Hurts my eyes a bit.
Happy.
Takes a while to get used to the light, doesn't it?
Happy.
So once upon a time, we were all dead in our darkness and sin. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to rescue us from that so that we can cast off all the bad that we used to do and we can now live in the light. Now, I've got some things here. What are these?
Candles.
Candles.
We're going to cast on those too.
Well, we're not going to cast them on, but you can see these candles have words stuck on them, just like our blanket did. These candles have different words on them. Ellie, can you read some out for us?
Yes. Love, goodness, joy, patience, kindness, hope, gentleness, generosity, humility, peace.
That's right. Guys, these are all good things. These are things that when we trust in Jesus, we cast off all the wicked, evil, dark that we used to do, and instead we put on these good things, these things of light. Now, can you do that on your own?
No.
No, none of us can we? We all need somebody to help us. Who can help us to cast off the dark and to put on the light?
Jesus.
That's right. Let's praise God for sending Jesus so that we can be rescued and for giving us his spirit so that we can keep living his way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us. Thank you that you help us to cast off sin and darkness. And please help us to live in your light. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 It's a nerve-wracking thing to try and walk in the dark. When I was in high school learning German, most of which I can't remember now, we had to lead a friend around the room while they were blindfolded. We had to navigate our way around tables and chairs, being clear, and they had to completely trust us. They had to trust us that we wouldn't try and be funny, making them bang into something. They had to trust that we'd remember the right German word to use. But we tend to walk a bit slower in the dark, don't we? When I'm at home about to go to bed, when I've turned the light off in the lounge room so I can head to the bedroom, I move slower. Even when I'd already checked that the way was clear. If the light's already on in the bedroom, it's fine. But if I forgot to do that, and it's completely black, these steps are shorter and slower. I don't want to veer too much and hit the chairs at the dining table or hit the kitchen bench. What a relief when there's light to walk by. A light which tells us the way to go and warns us of the dangers ahead. When it comes to walking through this life, we need light. Plenty of people try to wander through this life on their own. And we're all tempted to do this, to imagine that we know the right steps to take. We think we know what's right, what's wrong. But if we're just making it up on our own, we're stumbling around in the darkness. We need light. And that's what Jesus is. His gospel is light, and by the light we're to walk. Because of who Christ is and what he's done and what he will do, we're to live for him. Paul tells us in these verses, walk in the light of the gospel. We'll look at these verses under two headings. First, verses 8 to 10, Paul tells us, love your neighbour. Second, in verses 11 to 14, resist the darkness. Let's turn to that first heading, verses 8 to 10. Where to walk in the light of the gospel means to love your neighbour. Look at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. If you remember back to last week, verses 6 to 7 tell us about paying taxes and customs and fear and honour. We're not to hold back on paying those things. We're not to owe them, but to pay them as soon as we can. This isn't a verse that we can use to say loans are immoral. It's okay to get a car loan or a mortgage, but when it comes to our debts, we're to pay them. Beck and I haven't yet purchased a house of our own. We have our eyes on the market, but house prices have exploded recently. It's strange to think, from one perspective, that we're looking forward to the day when we have a huge debt, a mortgage. And the moment we enter into that contract, we've bound ourselves for decades to repaying this debt. Many of you have probably managed it, to completely repay a debt that at one time felt overwhelming. But Paul draws our attention to an even greater debt. It's a debt different to all others. When you make payments on your car loan or your mortgage, you can see the balance of the debt get lower and lower. While it feels like forever, there is an end in sight. A time is coming when the balance will be zero. But not when it comes to loving your neighbour. This is a debt that goes on and on. The balance never wavers. There's never a hint that in 20 years or 100 years or 10,000 years that the debt will have reduced even a fraction. Paul then quotes some of the Ten Commandments that are especially about how we relate to other people. And, like Jesus did when questioned about the law, Paul says that all these laws are summed up with that glorious phrase from Leviticus 19:18, "You shall love your neighbour as yourself." If you want to love your neighbour, you won't commit adultery. It's not loving to your husband or wife. It's not loving to your kids or your friends. Because when it's found out, it destroys lives. Relationships are in tatters. R.C. Sproul, when talking about these verses, makes exactly that point. He was speaking with a woman who had a relationship with someone else's husband. And it wasn't just one or two people impacted. Many people were tragically impacted by that one adulterous relationship. You shall not murder. Not only out of love for the person you'd murder, but out of love for all those who'd be impacted. Friends, family, workmates. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. All of these and more that we're tempted to do hurt and destroy. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of these things, you know that very well. Christians can get confused about the Old Testament law. Some think that because Jesus has come, because we're saved by faith in him, that the law has nothing to do with us anymore. But Paul doesn't think that, does he? He's already told us the gospel, and now the commands flow from it. If we're gospel people, it seems we also need to be law people. Jesus said, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And this love, Paul says, is the fulfilling of the law. This expectation that we keep the law in response to the gospel has been made a few times in Romans. Even in chapter 3, straight after his detailed look at our salvation, he says faith doesn't overthrow the law. Instead, we uphold the law. In chapter 8, Jesus was condemned so the law might be fulfilled in us by the empowering of the Spirit. This is our duty as the redeemed people of God. By grace, we've been made brothers and sisters. We've been joined together in this relationship of obligation to love one another that will never end because our salvation will never end. Do you love your neighbour? It's not always easy. If it was, we wouldn't need the command. But Paul knows it isn't easy. That's why he talks about bearing with one another. He expects it to be hard. Because we're sinful, we're tempted to think of ourselves above others. How can you love your family better? When it comes to my extended family, it'll mean giving them a call more often. I'm terrible at that. Life gets in the way. There's so much to do. I get consumed by what's right in front of me, but I need to lift my eyes from all the distractions. That's how I can love them. What might it mean for you? I know in these times of restrictions it's really hard. You want to be there for them, but you can't be. Maybe for all of us it means picking up the phone more, but I'm sure that many of you are already good at that. How can we love our husbands and wives better? What would they appreciate? What would be a help to them? You might be tired of thinking about other people. You'd just like to stop. You might be eager for others to fulfill their debt of love to you. But our debt to one another never goes away. It never takes a break. The love we've been shown is too great to give us a break from loving one another, from loving our families, from loving the people in church. We need to remember we've been set free from striving to be saved by the law so we can use our freedom to keep the law, to love one another. Jesus has loved us by dying to bring us forgiveness. And as we walk in the light of the gospel, we're to love our neighbour. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is better than anything the world suggests. This is what we long for the world to be like. But we can only live this way when we're given the power to by God. This is too hard for us on our own. We need forgiveness through Jesus and the power of God's Spirit in us to love our neighbours. We're to walk in the light of the gospel by loving our neighbour, because that's the fulfillment of the law. And in our second heading, Paul says to walk in the light of the gospel by resisting the darkness. Verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Are we awake? I imagine all of us have had the experience of the alarm waking us up and repeatedly pressing snooze. Despite the intentions from the night before and despite the need to get up, the urge to stay in bed and to continue resting is strong. This was especially the case for me when I was a teenager and when I was at uni. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Are we sleeping like teenagers when the sun has risen? Are we absorbed in what's done at night, unwilling to wake and greet the new day that's come? Paul says, "Now is the hour for us to wake from sleep. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. The night of Adam's sin has passed, the night of slavery to sin, the night of shame and guilt. It's time to wake. Resist the darkness, because, verse 11, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Yes, if you trust in Jesus, you've already been saved. Jesus has suffered and died for your sin. You're now free. Condemnation is gone. But we haven't yet been made into what God is saving us to be. One day soon, our salvation will be complete. Each moment, each beating of our frail hearts, each intake of our lungs brings us all one moment closer to the day when He who is our salvation appears, when He comes with His victory, holding the keys to death and hell. The night of Adam's sin is fading. The day of Christ's salvation is dawning. Therefore, verse 12, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. There are some activities that are closely associated with the night and darkness. These aren't the kind of places I frequent, but whenever I've entered a bar, generally it hasn't been well lit. But it's not just the place which is associated with the night, it's the activity of drinking itself. I don't know how many times I've heard on TV, which is where I get all my information about these things, that it's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's the excuse to start drinking earlier than normal. 5 o'clock isn't exactly night, but it's getting late, and 5 o'clock seems to be the appropriate time to start drinking, especially to start drinking in order to get drunk. Darkness is the time for evil, hiding from the view of those around us so we feel free to sin without feeling guilty. We can all think of the horrible crimes that are more likely to be committed at night because they're less likely to be caught. But Paul doesn't speak of crimes we might commit in the darkness. He speaks of other acts: drunkenness, sexual immorality, and sensuality. These are things that generally we do in the dark, away from prying eyes. Sure, we'll do them with others, but only because there's no judgment there. Mind you, our world is now desperate to remove all sense of shame from all number of sins. Sexual immorality and all other evils are paraded and defended in media, normalised in our entertainment, because our world is desperate to not feel shame. But we're not to be like them. We walk as children of the day. We put on the armour of light. We flee from temptation. We resist the darkness. See, we don't advertise our viewing of pornography, because that's a thing for the night. And so we should cast off those works of darkness. That flirting we subtly do with that attractive woman we know, even though we're married, we cast that off. That quarrelling we'd love to get into, we cast it off. Instead, we put on the armour of light. Anger, quarrels, dissensions, all these things are from the evil one, desperate for the people of God to live in the darkness rather than the light. There are certain places on Facebook I could mention where Christians seem to think quarrelling is a virtue. The day of Christ's return is at hand. He's coming to bring both judgment and salvation. And because he's coming, we live holy lives. It's fascinating. Paul starts off this practical section of Romans in chapter 12 by telling us, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And now it's because of the day to come that we live for him. These are difficult days for us. And in our hardships and frustrations, hear the words of Paul. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let us not be eager to win, but to bring honour to the name of Christ. Let's be eager to hear and understand one another, and even in our differences, love one another. Let's live as those who are between the first and second coming, as those who are part of the day, having woken from the night. This is how we walk in the light of the gospel, by keeping our eyes fixed on what Jesus did for us at the cross, by remembering that we belong to the day of Christ's salvation, his return, not to the night of sin and self-absorption. And as we remember that we've been set free from sin and don't need to fear judgment, and as we look forward to the next event in God's calendar, the return of Jesus to rescue his people and judge the world, we live for him. We love our neighbour. Paul's talking to the church here. This is what we're supposed to look like. And maybe you're not part of the church, but you find this attractive. You wish you could live this way, but you can't. You look at the world around you and you know that its vision of what our lives should look like is so different. For the world, it's all about self-fulfillment, self-gratification, getting as much as you can for yourself. No one lives this way perfectly. We all fall far short. We all need forgiveness each day and the strength from God's Spirit to start again, striving to love others. This isn't natural to any of us. But if you want to start living this way, you'll never be able to do it on your own. All of these instructions are given in the light of what Jesus has done for us. It's only those who've been forgiven, who know Jesus, who have his Spirit, who can live in the light of the gospel, who can live a life of love. If you want this, turn to Jesus. Repent. There's no other way. Loving others won't save you. Without Jesus, trying to keep the law of love will only condemn you. You need Jesus to forgive you, wash you clean, and then give you his Spirit. And you'll start to live this way. Imperfectly, full of starts and stops, you'll need to repent each day. But there will come a day when Jesus returns and your salvation will be complete. And finally, you'll live this way perfectly, but only if you've been forgiven. Walk in the light of the gospel by loving your neighbour and resisting the darkness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please make us people of love. May your gospel be working in us, that we would live lives that are filled with love for one another. May this good news that Christ has loved us and died to save us, may it never leave us unmoved. Show us where we've been unloving. Shape us so that wherever we are, on the road, with family, on social media, we would be full of love for others, seeking their good and building them up. May people truly see that we are your disciples by the way we love one another. And we pray for anyone listening who doesn't know you, that as they think of this call that you've given us, to love others and to cast off the works of darkness, may they desire that life too. And may they know that they will never have that life unless they come to you. We can't live this way on our own. We need you. And we wait until Christ returns before we live it perfectly. But until then, forgive us and keep changing us from one degree of glory to another. In Jesus' name, Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Because of restrictions, on Sundays we need to have multiple services, and you'll need to book your seat. Those are at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. That's 9:30 and 11 a.m, and I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.